Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I'm Mike Pelaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, where we cover the Steelers 24/7 while bringing you, the Steeler fans, together in an effort to raise money for Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. Visit the site, read the articles, listen to our podcast, join the club, get your t-shirts, and so much more at SteelNationAssociation.com. But my work doesn't stop there. You can also find me on SteelCityUnderground.com, where they cover the Steelers all day, every day, from so many different panelists and columnists that cover the Steelers from many different angles, and every single thing going on in the world of the Steelers, you will find covered right here at SteelCityUnderground.com. So please visit the site and check out everything that we have to offer on SteelCityUnderground.com. All right, let's get into it. Steelers, 10-2. Another big win, another win that came down to the wire against a very, very fired up Bengals team, I guess we'll say, a team that was playing essentially for their playoff lives, and a team that I think the Steelers just put the nail in their season coffin. But obviously, before we get too deep into the game, we need to, one, send our prayers out for Ryan Shazier. Good news is it doesn't sound like there's any type of paralysis going on. He's going to be in Cincinnati for a few days, as we know, and we will just hope for the best. It just was a play that I think everybody, not just Steeler fans, had to have been sick over. And, you know, you just don't want to see that. You don't want to see anybody going off on a stretcher. And you know, even Vontaze Burfict, who went off on a stretcher, don't want to see that either. And we'll certainly cover that play a little bit tonight. But, yeah, I mean, it was a sad thing. You know, you just hope that Shazier is okay and able to walk and, you know, forget about playing football, but that he's okay. You know, it was a scary sight, and obviously the Steelers and the Bengals, to a degree, I think, were certainly shaken up over that. And on any given play, that's obviously a possibility for anybody out there on that field. But I think that it just almost sums up what this Bengals-Steelers game has become. The crazy thing is, though, that the Shazier play was nothing to do with any of that chippiness that seems to be going on between these two teams over the last several seasons. It was a play that he was trying to make. He led with his head, and it just didn't work out, unfortunately. Beyond that, you know, we just have to wait, hope, and see where it goes with him, and just really, really hope for the best for him, because that is something that I know that I don't want to see, and I don't think anybody did. So, you know, obviously we're thinking about you, Ryan. We're hoping everything works out okay. And, you know, Steelers went out there and they rallied for you and they got it done. So we'll talk about that a little bit. This Steelers team, as I wrote earlier this week, and I'll credit Mike Tomlin here, and I've not been one to do that very often, but I'll credit Mike Tomlin here. They don't quit this year. They don't quit. Yes, they've lost to the Bears. Yes, they lost to Jacksonville badly. But other than that, there have been games, yes, they should have won by a lot more than they have, but they were down 17-0 to the Bengals this week on a Monday night football game in a very hostile environment to a team that really needed to win to keep their season alive. And you had one of your best players go down, which could have been to paralysis for all that the players knew, and still we're not able to say, you know, that it wasn't. But the point is, the Steelers rallied. They were down 17-0, and they rallied and they won the game on the final play of the game off of the toe of Chris Boswell, who I'm officially adding to the Killer Bees. He's clutch. He gets it done. This is the second week in a row the final play of the game came down to him kicking a big field goal and him making it. And he crushes the Bengals, by the way. Crushes them. They don't like seeing him out there, that's for sure. They don't like seeing the Steelers. You know, they get up for the Steelers, but they don't beat the Steelers very often. And that's been apparent. I think it's now six in a row that the Steelers have taken from the Bengals, including that playoff game a couple of seasons ago. And you know, that ugliness from that playoff game resurfaced for sure this week against the Bengals. I mean, it was bad. The Bengals had, what, 170 yards in penalties or something? It was insane. It was just insane. But, you know, I just need to say that I am just very impressed with the way the Steelers came back. And again, I think Ben Roethlisberger led the way. He kept his cool, and this team follows him. Now, you have to give credit, of course, to the other two killer bees, Le'Veon Bell with almost 200 yards from scrimmage, coming up clutch. That play down the sideline, that pass that he ended up putting in for a score, was insane. And then just the way he destroys Kirkpatrick. I don't know why that wasn't brought up. How many times did he level Kirkpatrick? And let's not forget earlier in the season when he just stiff-armed Kirkpatrick into the ground and Kirkpatrick bounced off of it like a basketball. I think there was two or three more plays this week where he just leveled Kirkpatrick. I think that should have been discussed a little bit more, quite frankly. He owns him. And then Antonio Brown, what can you say? The all-world wide receiver who is now starting to get mentioned for MVP consideration. I doubt he'll end up winning it, but he absolutely needs to be in that conversation, and I'm glad that he is. The plays that he puts up, the catches he makes, and the fact that he went out there this week with that toe, and I'm sure most of you saw that picture on Instagram, that thing looks like a balloon at the end of his foot. And he went out there and put up the numbers he put up. And how about the hit he took on that touchdown catch that ended up getting, Ekola suspended from the Bengals? Unbelievable. He is unbelievable. Now, obviously the big play that we haven't talked about yet is Juju Smith-Schuster laying out Vontaze Burfict. I've got a couple of thoughts on that. One, first and foremost, as much as I dislike Burfict, and I have not been quiet about that, I can't stand the guy, in fact. I think he's dirty. I think he is just a danger out there. And, you know, I don't like him as a football player. I don't know him as a person, but he seems like an idiot, quite frankly. That said, I didn't want to see the guy come off the field on a stretcher either. I don't think anybody wanted that. I mean, there are probably some lunatics out there that did, but I'm not one of them. You know, I dislike him, but that is not something I wanted to see. Now, Juju Smith-Schuster's play, the block that ended up laying him out and obviously injuring him, got called for a foul, a 15-yarder. I don't agree with that at all. I think that was an in-game football play. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I thought it was a very hard hit, but a clean hit, and it was one where he's trying to make a block. So I didn't agree with that. I did agree with the taunting penalty. I was definitely disappointed in Juju for that, just because there wasn't any need. You already leveled him out. Just let it be. I was actually surprised. I just don't think that's the kind of player Juju is. I still don't think that. He came out and said that. I didn't like that he said he didn't mean to taunt him. You did. You did mean to taunt him, Juju. Just you know, let's go with the apology and move on. He obviously probably felt worse because what happened in terms of Burfict being carted off. But what I'll say is, you know, he was probably a bit amped up to level Burfict. Quite frankly, Burfict has gone out and injured Bell, Brown, and Roethlisberger at different times in his career. Now, Juju was in college for some of those, but he obviously has been brought up to speed, we'll say, in terms of what Burfict has done to this team. And Antonio Brown came out and said, what comes around goes around. You know, is that fair? I don't know. I don't want to go too deep down that rabbit hole, but I think the point of what I'm trying to make is that, you know, Juju felt like, hey, you know, I got you back for doing what you did. Now, he didn't know he hurt him at first. I don't think he stands over him if he knew he hurt him. I really don't. He just shouldn't have done that at all. Now, what really bothers me is he got suspended for a game. He appealed it, and it was also denied. But specifically, the suspension came for the taunting. I mean, there are so many different taunting plays that go on around the league every week that obviously don't get suspended. I think it was BS that he was suspended for that. I think he should have been fined. I definitely think he should have had some sort of ramifications for the taunting. And if you want to say the hit was illegal, I don't agree with you, but fine, you can fine him as well. But, or, I mean, even I don't agree with the hit being illegal, but even if you want to say that, then suspend him for the damn hit. But don't tell me you're suspending him for taunting. That's absurd. That's absurd. Come on. And it's the NFL commissioner's office, Roger Goodell, you're a joke. You have no consistency in that office. You don't care about the violence that's going on out there. You act like you do, but you don't. And I am sick and tired of the referees being a storyline, of Roger Goodell being a storyline, of just the complete inconsistency of that office and the way they just dole out suspensions. It makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason to anything they do. And, you know, this one just doesn't add up. It doesn't add up, or at least your reasoning doesn't. Get it together, NFL. Seriously, get it together. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Steelers come out of there. Got off on a little tangent there, but the Steelers come out of Cincinnati with a huge win because, quite honestly, partway through that game, I thought they were a little bit deflated, understandably so, but I started thinking, like, you know what? They're about to go on a 3-game slide. They're going to lose this game to Cincinnati. They're going to go home to Baltimore and lose that one because Baltimore's on a roll. And then they're going to lose to New England. That's what I was thinking to myself at one point in that game. And if that were to happen, by the way, looking at the Ravens' schedule, who the Steelers play obviously this coming week, they're going to win out. They're going to win out. I'm not saying they're going to be Pittsburgh, but they're going to win the rest of their games. They absolutely are going to win the rest of their games. They are going to make the playoffs, and had the Steelers lost in that 3-game slide that I was starting to worry about at one point, they would have won the division. Now, what they have left, of course, they're at Pittsburgh this week. We'll discuss that. Then they're at Cleveland. That's a win. They're versus Indianapolis. That's a win. And then they've got the Bengals at home. You know, maybe Cincinnati gets up for that, but I think that's a win too. So basically, the Ravens are in the playoffs, the way I see it. Now, Steelers need to keep them away from them in terms of the path that the Ravens will take through the playoffs. Some of that comes down to just beating them this week, but I expect it to be an insanely physical game again this week, and the Steelers are coming off of a short week, and obviously without their best defensive player in Ryan Shazier, maybe forever, but definitely for this week, I would imagine minimum for the remainder of the season, so they are going to miss him greatly, but more so than that, it's just that everybody's bumped and bruised and banged up, and they've got one last day to recover from it before they play the very tough, very brutal, extremely physical Baltimore Ravens on a Sunday night primetime game where the Ravens have had some success going into Pittsburgh and winning. Now, I still don't think the Ravens have a very good offense. I don't think Joe Flacco has it, unlike what I've been saying about Ben when earlier this season when he didn't look so great. I knew he would come back. I don't trust that Flacco will. I think maybe he's on the very big downswing of his career. But that's not to say that I don't think he could do it for one night, and that's not to say I don't think he could do it for one night in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. He does get up for that game, as does the rest of that Baltimore Ravens team. And I do expect another close, hard-fought contest. That's the way these games always are. And that's the way this game will probably play out again this week. I think that it's obvious the Ravens don't have a good offense. So the Steelers, I think, are going to need to rely on their defense getting some turnovers. One, you know, specifically stuffing Flacco in the passing game, which is really towards the bottom of the league. And, you know, not allowing the running attack to get them, because the Ravens have a little bit better of a rushing attack. And I think that's the way they'll try to attack the Steelers. The Steelers are more susceptible to the run than the pass as well by the numbers, although my eyeball would tell you that they are very susceptible to the pass as well as the run. I don't care what the stats say. Sometimes numbers lie, and I think that they do in this case. And I think that specifically the way the Steelers have played the last few weeks, they do even more. Not to mention they have injuries to overcome as well. So, you know, Shazier is just one of those. Mike Mitchell's missed some time. Hayden's missed time. You know, and there's other bumps and bruises on that side of the ball as well that they're going to need to overcome. So You know, with Shazier out, even though he doesn't play inside linebacker, I mean, I think you're going to have to finally see James Harrison, aren't you? I mean, aren't you going to have to finally see James Harrison? To be honest with you, I think that you have to not only play James Harrison, but I think you have to start him. And I think you have to move either Watt or Dupree to the inside. And I know that's not an easy move. I think it would be more likely to be Watt, quite honestly. But I think that's your best set of linebackers and your best chance to win. And so I'm hoping that's what we'll see. I don't know if that will be the case, but that is exactly what I think needs to happen to sort of mitigate the loss of Shazier down the stretch, assuming it is down the stretch. I mean, at a minimum for the next several weeks. You know, so we'll see where that goes. But I think from the defensive side of the ball that, you know, I don't expect Hayden to play. I don't know about Mitchell. I think Cody Sensabaugh, he was benched against the Bengals this week. I think he's probably not going to start, if assuming Hayden's not back. I think you'll see Cam Sutton getting that job. I'm fine with that. They drafted him for a reason, to be opposite of Artie Burns before they had Hayden, obviously. So I think that, you know, let's give him a shot and see what he can do. And this might be the week to try that. I expect a lot of blitzing against the Ravens, and I think they're going to need to do that in order to win the game. But I also expect the Steelers to continue this offensive explosion. And it's hard to say the explosion after the 3-point first half against Cincinnati, but you know, they ultimately ended up putting up 23. I felt like Roethlisberger looked really good. Brown and Bell looked the same, specifically in the second half. And I just think that they're capable of doing so many good things each and every week offensively. And now I think it's very obvious that it's time for them to step up and take care of business offensively, because I think the defense is starting to come back to earth, which is fine. And, you know, this is, again, going to be an offensive team probably down the stretch. So I think it's going to be a close game against Baltimore. I think we're looking at something along the lines similar to the Bengals game. Last week I said a 23-17 Steeler victory over the Bengals. It ended up being 23-20. I don't think the Steelers get 30 this week. The Ravens do have a very solid defense, a top 10 defense, I think number 7 in the league right now. And they're good. You know, I think that's obvious that they're going to come out motivated, just as the Steelers will. So I do think the Steelers win. I do think that they win. I think it's going to be a 24-20 game. But I think they're going to come out and get the victory. But it won't be easy, and I think it'll come down to the fourth quarter again in order to kind of put that seal on the game. What I will say, and I think a lot of people don't realize this, is if the Steelers lose this game, it's not the end of the world if they're able to turn around and beat the Patriots. You know, and people want to talk about the number one seed. The fact of the matter is, if the Steelers beat the Patriots and win the rest of their games, or are win all but one of the rest of their games, I should say, as long as they beat the Patriots and only lose one other game, they will always hold the tiebreaker over the Patriots for the number one seed. They'll both have 3 losses in that scenario, assuming the Patriots were to win the rest of their games. So a loss, even to Baltimore, is not the end of the world for the number one seed, as long as the Steelers can beat New England. That's a different tale for a different day, which we will certainly discuss 1 week from now, after the Raven game and before that New England game. The game that Mike Tomlin discussed a few weeks ago, I still wish he hadn't, even though it's something that was on his mind, because it's looming and it's going to be a big one. Either way, we'll get there in a week. For now, I think the Steelers do take out the Ravens 24-20. Very hard fought, very physical contest, hopefully with no injuries. And we'll start prepping for New England then. Till next time, I'm Mike Pelayo of SteelNationAssociation.com and SteelCityUnderground.com. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully after another Steeler victory.